Well, good morning and welcome to New Life Community Church of the Nazarene. It's a joy to have you with us here worshiping the Lord today on this somewhat cloudy, rainy, drizzly day. Yeah, it is a beautiful day, isn't it? Now, I am going to remind you once again, there is a Redeemer. Praise God that there is a Redeemer. Isn't that a good word? There is a Redeemer. And I just want to remind you again, I say it every time we sing this song, it's not just when we get to glory that we're going to serve Him forever, right? Here and now. We begin here and now to serve Him. That's truly huge. So yes, we're going to go and we're going to serve Him, and that's all great and glorious. But we also have the profound privilege to serve Him, to love Him, to honor Him, and to adore Him here and now. We don't have to wait until then and there. Well, Psalm 51, read from my phone, is a reminder to all of you to silence yours. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to the multitude of your tender mercy and loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and my guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin. That's a good prayer. That's the Psalm of David when he was confronted by his sinfulness. You know, all of us have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What a joy to know that though the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Praise God. Let's bow before Him. Father, though our sins be as scarlet, wash us whiter than snow. Lord, I am so thankful that You knew our hopeless, helpless condition, that You sent our Savior, our Lord, the Redeemer, the payment for our sins, so that we could be reunited with You, so that we could be renewed in right relationship with You. Father, thank You for that. Thank You for the privilege that we now have to come before You and to know that You, our Father, has Your face turned towards us, that You lean forward from Your throne in heaven to hear us, that in fact You get up from Your throne and You run to meet us as we turn to You. Thank You so much, Father. Hear us today as we worship You, as we praise You. Thank You for cleansing us so that we can come into Your presence. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. From Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, which is where I really had intended to begin, but now you're quiet enough to hear it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Father, as I read these words, there's just so much good in here. There's so much that is so powerful and so meaningful for us. There's so much that shapes who we are because of what you have accomplished in and through Jesus Christ. Thank you. We offer ourselves to the praise of your glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about overcoming shame and learning how to live in a shame-free society. Not a shameless society, but a shame-free society. And as we do that, we considered a little bit about what shame is. And shame is that knowledge of our separation from God the Father, that knowledge that we have lost something that is desperately important to who we are, to all that we are supposed to be, that we lost that through our sin and our rebellion against the Father, that we became isolated and separated and we were in hiding and broken and away from the Father. But the Father, in his great love for us, has turned his face for us and he's calling us, wooing us back into relationship with himself. A relationship that has to be reestablished through the forgiveness of sins. A relationship that has to deal with our rebellion, has to deal with our brokenness, but then calls us back into that right relationship. There's nothing that we can do to restore ourselves, but hallelujah, God has done it for us. That is a good word. Now, the problem that we have is that Satan whispers in our ear and he continues to lie to us and he continues to tell us things like you're not good enough. He tries to tell you that you are not adequate. He tries to tell us that we will never be accepted, that if God only knew. Or here's what the way we oftentimes say it to one another, if you only knew what I have done, who I really am deep inside, you would know that God could never accept me. And I want you to know that's a lie. I want you to know that that's not true. That, number one, God does know what you have done. And number two, even when he knew what you had done, he sent his son to pay the penalty for your sins so that he could bring you into relationship with you. You see, Satan says you're not lovable and that no one loves you. And that's a lie because God does love you. He made you for right relationship with himself and he loves you unconditionally, full and free.
Yeah, you gave us the antidote right at the moment, the prayer warrior prayer. My brother Jack called me this week and reminded me of the devil, get behind me. You can't touch me, I'm God's prophet.
Right, exactly. We need to be praying against the powers of hell, against the powers of this world, the forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. We need to be claiming our identity in Jesus Christ as a regular part of who we are. I told you once upon a time that every morning when you get up, I don't know if you do this or not, but you brush your teeth, you look in a mirror, you go in the bathroom, you see that mirror there. Do you ever wince? Do you ever wince when you do that? You know. There are times when I do, I'm like, oh my goodness. But I told you a long time ago something that you need to do. When you're looking in the mirror, when you're standing in front of that mirror, point at the person in there and tell that person, which is actually you, God loves you. And there's not a thing you can do about it. You know, God's love is unconditional, full, and free. And it's available for all of us. And so our sin broke our relationship with the Father. But not only did it break our relationship with the Father, it infected us all with a deep sense of shame that we are separated from the one for whom and by whom we were made, and that there's no remedy and there's no hope. The good news is there is a remedy and there is a hope. And the remedy and the hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I don't know if you noticed this, but as I was reading through this, it was all about what God the Father had done through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not about you. So could you guys just get over yourselves? You know? And could you begin to own who you are in Jesus Christ? Because in Jesus Christ, you have been accepted. In Jesus Christ, you have been justified. You have been made right. You have been put into a right relationship with God the Father. I remember as a kid that they took justified and they said, just as if. You know, just as if you had never sinned. That's the justification that we've received. In Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God the Father. We are at peace then with the people that He has made. And, you know, really importantly, we can be at peace with ourselves as well. We no longer have to be striving and straining. We have been chosen. In Jesus Christ, we have been chosen. I don't know if you noticed this, but chosen before the foundations of the world. Isn't that good news? I mean, even before God made all of this world that we enjoy, even before He spoke one thing into existence, He had a plan for the redemption of all people. He had a purpose to bring people back to Himself. He chose us. He knew what we were going to be. Before He made us, He knew what our brokenness and our rebellion and our shame would be. And He chose a plan to become flesh Himself, to step out of heaven and become for us what we could not be for ourselves. That's truly good news. And so in Him we are chosen. In Him we are holy. Remember, holiness is derivative. There is only one source of holiness. It's God. God is the only source of holiness, and God is the one who, when He chooses us, when He touches us, when He sanctifies us, when He accepts us, when we become His, He makes us holy. It is His work that He does in us. Now, I got to tell you, it's a process. It's a moment. It's an instant, but it's also a process. It's a both and. And He makes us more and more holy. In Jesus Christ, we are free. Free from slavery to sin. Free from bondage to be a sinner. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. How precious that is. So we look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Notice, blessed us in Christ. Not blessed us on our own. Not blessed us for who we are. But blessed us in Jesus Christ. With a few spiritual blessings now and then. Not. No. Thank you, sister. Who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with most spiritual blessings? Not. No. See, I got to make sure you guys are paying attention here. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. even as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will and to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved in Christ Jesus. See, I want to remind you, I have to keep coming back to this. It's not about you. It's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is about what God has done. And we just are empowered and enabled to be recipients of what he has done. The only thing that we get to do is say, yes, I want it, or no, I don't. That's the privilege that we have. We can embrace it and say thank you, or we can reject it and try and be good enough on our own, and I just, you know, the Lord bless you, because you're going to need it. So now we're at verse 7. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We have been bought back. We have been bought back from the powers of hell. You see, we sold ourselves into slavery, and we've been bought back. Because we have been redeemed, because we have been bought back, that's why we're free. That's why we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're free from it, because we have been bought back. We are purchased with an awful price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We've been bought back through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You know, one of the things that I just kind of want to pause here and tell you about as we leave, this is what God has done. God has canceled our debt. God has said that I no longer hold your sins against you. I have transferred your debt to my son, and he has paid it in full once for all. Nothing needs to be added to it. We have been set free. Now, when we're talking, though, about overcoming shame, and part of the problem with shame, you remember, is that we have a tendency to hide. We have a tendency to run from the face of God because we know that we're not worthy at some level. And one of the things that I want you to know, this forgiveness of our trespasses, the word for trespasses is not the normal word for sin. The normal word for sin in terms of missing the mark and or rebellion against God, it's not that word. It's a word, though, that means the things that we do that break our relationship and our fellowship with another, our trespasses. Now, you all know how this works. You all know how this works because you're all in relationships. Anybody ever have a broken relationship? Okay. I mean, I think most of us can raise our hand. Now, that happens because of hurt and pain, right? That happens because in this relationship, I'm going to say, you know, with Heather and I, you know, we're in this marriage relationship, and we have been blessed to walk together in marriage for 35 years. That's nothing compared to my in-laws, but it's still pretty remarkable in this day and age. And we have walked together, and you can imagine that she's had to put up with a few things here and there. There have been some times when I haven't necessarily treated her as good as I could have or should have. There have been times when I've had to go to her and ask for forgiveness from her. Times when she could have held something against me, but she chose to set it aside. You see, relationships are broken because of things that we do that hurt the other person. And an unwillingness then to admit them, to repent of them, and to ask for forgiveness. Always and forever. Now, in the human sphere, there are always two people that can be at fault, right? In the human sphere, it can be something that's done against you, or it's something that you can do against another. It works. There's always two people involved that can go wrong. But when we're talking about God, I hate to tell you this. I hate to break it to you. This is a flashing news break. But God never does anything wrong. So when there's a brokenness of relationship, guess who's to blame? That would be us. It's because we have chosen to do our own thing instead of putting His will and His ways first. And it's that separation of relationship. And we have been forgiven of those things that will break that relationship, those things that will sever union, unity, and love. We have received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ for those things. Isn't that good news? You see, that deals with shame. Because shame is that sense that we can't possibly enter into right relationship, and God the Father is saying, no, come back to me, my child. I have forgiven you. I have accepted you. I want you. Now, you know, I have to be very clear about this process. Forgiveness is full and free. But there are still a necessity for us then to conform to Him, instead of for us to try and justify why we don't have to conform to Him. You know, we're really good at doing that, right? And we have to be really careful that we don't go there. And the problem, we were talking about the Ten Commandments in our Sunday school class this morning, and the problem, you see, is that there's always a tendency to fall on two opposite extremes. One is legalism, where we're trying to do everything just right in order to earn our salvation. Well, that doesn't work. You cannot get there. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You just can't do it, okay? So you have to give up trying on that. But then on the other side, there's another one. And quite honestly, the pendulum in the United States of America has swung over to this side. Licentiousness. It no longer matters what you do. You can live like hell and God has to accept you. Not so much. Okay? Because if you really realize the awesome weight of what God has done to demonstrate His love for you, if you really realize the awesome weight of our sin, what it cost God to restore us, we cannot just continue to willy-nilly go and do anything we want to do at this point. We dare not trample through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is there is forgiveness for all sin. It doesn't matter how far away you are. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how much you've done wrong. God's forgiveness is full and free. But hear me well. You cannot use the fact that you have been forgiven as an excuse to go on sinning. Okay? Because this is about relationship. And this is about the heart of God and the heart of man and woman and child. And it's about us coming together in unity and in oneness and love. And you can't constantly be sticking your finger in God's eye. You know, you gotta say, no, God, thank you so much. I don't deserve this. But thank you. And I'm going to try. by your grace and by your power and by the Holy Spirit that is at work within me, I'm going to try to live in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable. And every time your Spirit touches me on the shoulder and says, I'll use my name because he does it often enough, Kurt, you shouldn't be doing that. Your response should always be the same. Yes, Father. You're right, I'm wrong. Please forgive me and help me to do what's right. That should always be our response, not Saul's response. You remember King Saul? And the prophet comes and speaks, Samuel, prophet, priest, and king, sort of. He comes and he talks to Saul about what he's supposed to do, and he gives him a command, and he says, this is the way you're supposed to do it. And Saul goes out, and he does his battle, and he doesn't do what God has asked him to do, and he's bringing the king back, and he's bringing all the richest plunder back, and Samuel confronts him and says, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? And Saul says, oh, but I did. And Samuel has to say, what's this bleating of sheep that I hear in my ears? You know, because you weren't supposed to spare any of those sheep. So if I'm hearing sheep, there's something wrong. And Saul then says, well, you know, we were going to sacrifice. You know, we thought, you know, we'd have a big barbecue because we know God likes barbecue. By the way, you may think the South is king of barbecue, but I'm here to tell you right now, the nation of Israel with the sacrificial system, that's the king of barbecue, okay? I mean, we're talking some serious barbecue going on every day. And Saul is just saying, well, I know God likes a good barbecue. And we thought, you know, we'd provide him with the choicest stuff. And you remember Samuel's words. To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, why am I talking about that when today's focus is on forgiveness? In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Make absolutely no bones about that. God has restored you to right relationship with himself. He has let go of his right to punish you for the wrong that you have done. He has laid that upon himself, and he has set you free. Hallelujah. That is so good. But don't presume on that grace and on that forgiveness. Choose to walk in right relationship with the one true living God. Choose to submit yourself to his leading and to his Spirit, because he has great and glorious things that he wants to do in you and through you. And notice, this forgiveness of our trespasses, this forgiveness of that which separates us from relationship, is according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So I want you to walk free. I want you to walk with your head held high. I want you to walk knowing, in Jesus Christ, I am forgiven. My sins have been separated from me. They have been thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness, which means, in essence, he has chosen to forget all about them. Praise God, I don't have to go into his presence and remind him of how bad I am, because we're going to come in and say, Father, I'm sorry about it. And he's going to say, sorry about what? I don't remember that. I chose to forget that. And I want you to be able to walk in that freedom and in that holiness and in that wholeness before God. But what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to make it an excuse to say, well, God's got spiritual amnesia, so I'm just going to go do whatever I want. Because that's presuming upon God's grace. And we want to walk in rightness before our Lord. We want to be pleasing and acceptable to Him. So I'm going to, as we think about this, Satan, I guarantee you, before you get out the door and onto the porch, Satan is going to hit you with a lie. He's going to remind you that you're not worthy. He's going to tell you that you're just a sinner. He's going to dump a bucket load of shame on you. And he's going to do it partially through the people around you who bring out the worst in you on a Food for Life Sunday when people are pushing and shoving to get in line. Lord, help us.
Amen.
Okay? Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to walk in your forgiveness and help us then to offer your forgiveness to others. But you know, a really good prayer would be, Lord, would you, by your grace and the empowering and indwelling presence of your Spirit, help to eliminate my need for forgiveness? Would you minimize it? Would you enable me to walk in holiness and righteousness and obedience before you so that I don't have to keep coming and saying, oh, Lord, help, I need your forgiveness again? I mean, hear me well, you're not going to get completely free. Not until you get to heaven. Okay? But if you ask God to help you to minimize your need for forgiveness, I kind of believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to do something special and to deliver you from besetting sins and to deliver you from attitudes and mindsets that are wrong, to enable and to empower you to do what is right, including your self-centeredness that makes you want to get to the front of the line to receive the best food. You know? Including all of those things that we struggle with. Okay? God will help us. But we do have to ask Him. And we have to be in a position where we say, you know what, God? My relationship with you is more important than absolutely anything else. And I know your forgiveness is full and free, but I don't want to have to keep coming and saying, Father, forgive me. I believe in your power to deliver me. So when you go from here, I want you to walk with your head held high, knowing that you've been forgiven. But I also want you to go with a humble heart that says, Lord, help. Lord, help, because I can't do this on my own. There's a tension here, because we don't want to go from shame-free to shameless, where we think we can just get away with whatever, and it doesn't matter. So we're going to sing a closing song. What are we singing? We're singing what?
Glorious Church.
Glorious Church. Oh, my goodness. Glorious Church without spot or wrinkle. Have you looked at us lately? But you know, the reality is we are a glorious church without spot or wrinkle because of what He has done. And it's for us to live into that truth. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go walking in the forgiveness of the Lord, not having to develop a need for more of it. Walk in holiness before Him. God bless you as you go.